wife Moore passed away, and be much in prayer for that family as Ralph passed, and we thank the Lord that he did get saved just here recently. So we thank the Lord for that. Let's go to prayer, and we'll bring you the message for tonight. Father, I come. Lord, you're so wonderful to me. I deserve nothing. And again, as I've said so many times, you give me everything. And Lord, I pray just now that you might direct my thoughts, that you might cleanse my heart, that, Lord, you might empower me to preach as you want me to preach. Lord, I do not want to do my own thing. I want to do what you want. Lord, I want you to speak through me. But, Lord, I do not want to be just alive, but I want to be fully alive. And, Lord, I pray that you might anoint me afresh tonight, that I might preach your word. Lord, help our church. Help everyone tonight in this wintertime weather that we just go through to do the best we can, be safe as according to your will. But we're going to give you the praise for everything that we see. Lord, you're great, and we love you tonight. Help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, I ask all this. And amen. We're going to be turning to start with in the Gospel of John again. And we're going to look at several scriptures. We're going to preach out of Colossians, but we're going to start in the book of John. Now, when we think about our theme again, it is coming fully alive in 2025. And we cannot settle for just alive. We're going to have to be fully alive. There's too much at stake. To start with, the Lord deserves us to be fully alive. He deserves that. He's given us everything, and for us to give Him less than everything is wrong. That's just the simplicity there. For us to live any other way than the way He wants us to is wrong. For us to live any way other than obedience to the Word of God is wrong. Hearing the Word of God is great. Reading the Word of God is great. But if we don't obey the Word of God, then it's no more than just a mere other book. We need to obey the Word of God. And the Word of God needs to be in us. So we're going to look at just a few things tonight. And I promise you, we won't keep you long. And you should have been here tonight. It's going to be a short service, all right? But we're going to look here at the screen, all right? So try to keep up with me. And there is a few people here. And we are glad that you're here tonight. And we thank you for all your help. Coming in fully alive in 2025, all right? I'm already hung up, Jeremy. There we go. Back me up. Back me up. All right. All right. John 14:6. Now, I want you to pay attention to something here. We want to leave you a thought now with all this. John 14:6. We know this verse. We've quoted it how many times? Thousands of times. Right? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we know this, but I want to remind you that Christ is the life. And when we talk about becoming fully alive in 2025, my life needs to be fully alive. And Christ is my life. He is the life. And you need to understand it. I'm sure you already know that, but we got to have this in our mind, that He is the life, all right? John 11, 25, when Jesus was speaking to, he told Mary and Martha both this, when Lazarus was dead and he was there, they thought he was too late, but he's never late. He's always on time. But Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the what? And the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. See, Christ is our life, and the message tonight and every day and every night is Christ is our life. He is the life, and we are in Christ. Okay? Now, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, the Bible says, For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So, we see that. That's simple. When Christ, look at the next way. For when Christ, who what? Is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. It says, when Christ, who is our life, He is the life, but when Christ is our life. Now, we need Christ to be our life. Now, we've made statements like, well, my life is my work. My life is my kids. My life is my grandkids. Oh, my life is hunting. Oh, my life is fishing. My life is this or that. We've made them statements many, many times, but yet Paul said, for my life is Christ. Now, that's the difference. Now, we're not going to be fully alive until Christ is our life. Now, I want everybody to understand this is a narrow way. It's a narrow road. It's a narrow path. It's a narrow gate. And Christ did not leave heaven and die for our sins to be second place. He didn't do that. He died for our sins that we might be with Him for eternity, but that He might receive all glory. To the extent that God says that He has highly exalted Him and given Him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and every tongue shall confess what? That Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You think about that. That He be first place. Paul wrote in Colossae to the church of Colossae and said that He might have the preeminence, that He is in all and above all, and by Him everything consists, and He's supposed to be the center. He's supposed to be number one. He's supposed to be our life. When we pass from death unto life, right, then He's supposed to be the center of our life. We're not supposed to have a secular life when we get saved. We got to work in the world, but our life's supposed to be a spiritual life. We people don't agree with that, but you're not going to find anything other than a life in Christ in the Word of God. We got to work in the world to provide for our families, but can I tell you that's where it ought to stop? We think we are created to have pleasure in the world. Our pleasure is to come from Christ. Our joy is supposed to come from Christ. Our time is supposed to be spent with Christ. And people don't like that, but that's why they're dead. That's why they may have a pulse, but they're not fully alive. We need to be fully alive in Christ. Fully alive. When Christ, who is our life, when Christ, who is our life, think about that. Christ, who is our life. You see that? Now, we know Christ is life, but I ask tonight, is Christ your life? Is Christ your life? We know He's life. That's what the Bible says. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the resurrection and the life. And Christ, who is our life? Paul said He was our life, but I'm asking you, is He your life? Huh? See, what we got, we're going to have to decide when we become fully alive in Christ, we're going to have to separate religion and relationship. Religion will keep us a pulse, maybe. But relationship will keep us fully alive in Christ. And He deserves that. He deserves that, okay? So let's look at a couple of things if we can. All right? For Christ to be first place in our life, then our lives are going to have to change. We're going to have to change. This is the dirty words of the church. We're going to have to change. That's the dirty words of the churches in our area. We're going to have to change. All right? It's insane not to. You can't do the same things all the time, over and over, and expect a different result. That's insanity. All right? That's insanity. You're going to have to change. All right? Our priorities will be different. Our goals will be different. Our desires will be different. For Christ to be first place in our life, our priorities are going to have to change. And our priorities are not Christ first. They're going to have to change. Christ is going to have to be first place again in our life. He is first place. We're just not in line with Him. All right? He's Lord. We're just disobedient children. I mean, that's what it boils down to. But our priorities will be different. What really matters? What really matters in your life? What really matters? Does Christ really matter? Now, you're going to have to answer that. Does Christ really matter? Does He? Our goals will be different. What goals do you have? Now, we've been mentioning that the last few services. We asked you earlier, what have you planned on when it comes to growth? What have you made plans with? How have you planned to grow this year? Did you grow last year? What goals have you set that you might reach for the Lord? Now, I know you have goals. Children have goals, and excuse me, you have goals for your children. All right, some of you's hoping your kids get through school. That's your goal. If you can just get them raised, how about that? If I just get them raised without killing them, huh? How about that? If I just get them out of the house without killing them, then everything will be all right. But can I tell you, we ought to have spiritual goals. All right, spiritual goals for our life, and that'll help us. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. All right. I appreciate the help. All right. Shoveling snow, bringing preacher water, and I'll still tickle his neck. All right. Priorities will be different. Our goals will be different. What goals do you have for the church? Have you set any goals for the church that you'd like to see? Have you set any goals for your Sunday school class? Have you set any goals for the adult class? Have you set any goals for the outcome of the services on Sunday? Have you already got in your mind youth camp coming up? Is there any goals there? Are there any goals for activities at all through the year for the church? Now, you've got plans for everything else. You've got plans for everything else now. You've got plans for school. You've got plans for sports at school, activities, ball games, championships, all these things. I'm not knocking that. I want to tell you again, I am not against any of our children playing sports. I am not against none of that. I'm not against anyone being involved in sports. I am against anything, and I will preach against it and stand against anything that keeps you unfaithful, that keeps you out of church at any time. I'm against it. And I'll preach against it and stand against it, because you're not going to be fully alive in the things of God if other things have priority. Our life ought to be planted around the Lord, His Word, His church, because we're Christians. And that's the truth. Now, I know that may not be popular, and I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm not against any sports. None. Alright? Not against any of them. But I'm against sports that keeps you out of church. I'm against work that keeps you out of church. I'm against recreation that keeps you out of church. I'm against disease that gets you out, keeps you out of church. I don't like disease if it keeps you out of church. I don't like disease anyway, but I'm against the disease. I'm going to pray against the disease that keeps you out of church. Now, I'm going to pray against your job that keeps you out of church. Huh? I'm going to pray against your recreation that keeps you out of church. Why? Because you're not going to grow if you're not in the house of God. And you're not going to be fully alive in 2025. Now, that's just the way it is. Our desires will be different. When our priorities change, our desires will change. All right? What we really want. All right? We okay with that? Probably not, but that's it. Let's look on. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." We are to seek first the things of God. We ought to seek first, first, first. It don't say second. Seek ye first the things of God. Alright? Think about that. Now, putting God first means serving Him with everything you have. We're talking about being coming fully alive in 25, all right? Putting God first means serving Him with everything you have and allowing His love to overflow into the lives of others from you. You're going to have to be fully alive to get anything out of you to help others. All right? If you're laying here on the floor and got a slight pulse, then others are going to have to care for you. But if you've got a full pulse up and about and active, then you're going to be able to help others. That's common sense, okay? You will become last. For Christ to be fully alive, for you to be fully alive in Christ, fully alive, coming fully alive in 25, you are going to be last. Now, when I say that, that means Mark's going to be last. For me to be first, I'm going to have to be last. My want, my desires, my own personal life is going to have to be set aside, and I'm going to have to look to Him and see what He wants. Do you understand? Your wants, your feelings, everything is going to have to become last. Now, people say, well, I'm not going to do that. Then you'll never be fully alive. You'll never be fully alive, and you'll be disobedient because Christ wants all of us. He wants all of me. He don't want part of me. He wants all of me. That's why He's given me talents. That's why He's given me abilities that I might use them for Him. Now, I can use them in the world to make a living. I can use them in the world to help others. The Bible talks about, I think it's in Ephesians, ain't it, that we ought to work with our hands. Let him that stole steal no more, but let him work with his hands that he might be able to give to others. Huh? Are you with me? So I'm supposed to work. A man that don't provide for his own house is worse than an infidel. I'm supposed to work, and I can use the talents, my abilities, maybe to make a living in the world, but it's for Christ. It's for Christ. All right? Now let's go on. Colossians 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Now, I am not taking that out of context. I'm just using the first part of the verse, that Christ, who is our life. That's a statement there, and that is a true statement. And we're talking about being fully alive in 25. Don't forget the theme. Becoming fully alive in 25. Now, start with, we're going to have to prioritize worship. Worship is not about us or how we feel or what we get out of it, but it's what we give unto the Lord. How we enjoy the Lord. How we rejoice unto the Lord. How we rejoice because of the Lord. Not to make me feel good. We're used to being sensual instead of spiritual. We're used to being sensual instead of spiritual. Because we come to church and want to feel good. But we ought to come to church to worship, to praise the high and holy God that has given everything for us. That's what we're supposed to do. Colossians 3:16 says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Can I tell you, that's what we're talking about, worship. Can I tell you that psalms and hymns and spiritual songs helps and aids our worship to the Lord Jesus Christ? Psalms, the psalms that is written, which are songs, are encouraging. They uplifting. This morning they sung, As the deer pants after water. That's a psalm. All through the psalms, there's encouraging things. that I'll be satisfied when I awake in His likeness. Talks about heaven. All through the Psalms we can find scripture that's encouraging us, and their songs. And then it says hymns. There was hymns back then. We okay with that? Hymns. And then spiritual songs. Listen to me. We ain't mentioned it for a while, but can I tell you, we ain't got no business listening to the trash of the world. And can I tell you, everything is under the heading the gospel is not spiritual. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. We're going to prioritize worship. To worship the Lord God. Not feel good stuff. Let me tell you something. When we start singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, it's going to make us feel good. Last night I was watching a video on my phone, and I'm trying to think of that man's name. It's over there. He's over there in England or Scotland or somewhere, Wales or one of them countries. And there's a big orchestra. And he's that fella, he's got bushy hair, and he plays a fiddle or the violin. I mean, he is a violin extraordinaire. I mean, he's and the orchestra is wonderful. Andre something. And there's thousands of people outside. They're all outside. He's outside. He's got 200 people in the orchestra. And there's people out there listening, sitting on chairs outside listening in this big courtyard. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of people. And then he's got like 200 people over in a choir. I mean, they're dressed to the hilt, tuxedos, long, fancy dresses and all this. You know, they're all been out of shape. And I was watching last night, and that fella was playing on the violin, Nearer My God to Thee. And as they was playing Nearer My God to Thee on the screen, it was showing the words to the hymn, Nearer My God to Thee. All he was doing was playing. And as he played it, I want you to understand, it was a spiritual, it was spiritual. Now, I'm watching on a video. I don't know when it was taped. It wasn't last night. It was old. But the Spirit of the Lord was in that song, Nearer My God, an old, old hymn. It's been around for several hundred years. All right? And then the choir sung the last part. And it showed the congregation, or the people that was listening. Now, they sung the Blue Bamboo Waltz and some of these other songs. But they sung, the fellow was playing, they was playing hymns then. And it showed the people through the crowd. And the tears were dripping off her face. And all they was doing was playing the violin. All the orchestra was playing. But it was the meaning. Can I tell you, that's what will feed your soul. Taylor Swift and this outfit ain't going to feed your soul. Miley Cyrus and all this ain't going to feed your soul. That's trash right out of hell. And Hank Williams Jr. and all of these things, you ain't got no business listening to none of it. Are you listening? You ain't got no business listening to none of it. You need to be listening to psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And that'll prioritize your worship. Okay? You need to start your day with God. Let me ask you, do you start your day with God? How do you start your day? What's the first thing you do of a day? Huh? What's the first thing? Psalm 63 verse 1 says, O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee, my flesh longeth for Thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Do you seek the Lord early? If you don't seek Him early, then how much of your day is without Him? If you don't seek Him early, how much of your day do you spend without direction? How much of your day do you spend without communion and fellowship if you don't start your day with Him? Think about it. We're talking about the bottom line is coming fully alive in 2025. But right now we're talking about Christ being our life. Okay? Putting God first in your reading. All right? Psalms 143 verse 8. Now, listen carefully to the wording here. It says, cause me to hear Thy loving kindness in the morning. Well, how can I hear the Lord? Through His Word. His Word speaks to me. All right? His Word speaks to you. cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. How am I going to know how to walk if I don't start my day with him? Now, we're talking about Christ being my life. We're talking about being fully alive in 2025. But how can I if I'm not going to start my day with the Lord? Okay? So I need to put God first in my reading. How about put God first in my praying? Psalms 5, verse 3. My voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. I need to talk to him in the morning. Well, I can't go through the day without him. Huh? When I do try to go, I oversleep. That's a concept I have a hard time with. I don't know that I've ever overslept, but some do. Okay? If you have trouble getting up in the morning, then you need to go to bed earlier of the night. And then you won't have as much trouble in the morning. Okay? But that's none of my business. You do what you want to do. But we're talking about being fully alive in 2025. We're talking about Christ being our life. Now, listen to me. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. I need to talk to the Lord in the morning. Putting him first in my prayer. How about putting God first when you're reading the Bible, when you finish your day? All right, when my day's done, does that mean I just forget about him? No. Now look at Psalms 119, 147, 148. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. Now, it's talking about of a morning, we're doing this. We're praying and reading of a morning. Everybody got that? I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. But look at verse 148. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. We need to read of a morning and we need to read at night. Huh? We need to go to bed. Now listen to me. It's hard to go to sleep when we've stayed in the world all day and we go to bed with nothing but the world on our mind. Now, we may sleep, but we won't rest. We won't have no peace. All right? We're still okay. Putting God first with your praying when you finish. Not just reading. How about my praying? Psalms 55, verse 17 says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. It starts out with evening. I don't want to forget to pray in the evening. Nighttime. Peace. I need peace. Listen, working in this troubled world, being with people, ungodly things, the world system, and we need the peace of God to be on our hearts and our minds when we lay our head down. Huh? Nighttime prayer, listen to me now, is so important, not just to pray of a morning to direct my steps, but nighttime prayer is important because it's a time for reflection on the day's events. When I pray, I can look back over the day and see the hand of God that's guided me and worked with me and kept me safe. Huh? If we'll think about it, we'll reflect on His blessing. Huh? The accomplishments, everything I do and accomplish is because of the Lord. Jesus says in John 15 that without me you can do nothing. You believe that tonight? Huh? Challenges, it brings personal growth and learning. Huh? When I pray at night and reflect through the day about what's happened and where God has kept me out of this and let me go this way and the people that He's let come in my life through the day and the opportunities to witness and the people that I've led to the Lord and all the greatness of God through the day, huh? He brings to my mind thanksgiving and worship and peace. When Christ is our life, Christ is our life. Christ is our life. Think about that. Coming fully alive in 2025. Huh? Our time with Christ will maintain a fully alive life. It can't be just Sunday and Wednesday. You're never going to be fully alive if you depend on Sunday and Wednesday. Now, I'm not knocking nobody, so everybody keep lined out here. Many have to work. They don't get home in time to get to church on Wednesday. I understand that. Some have to work on Sunday afternoons and start, and they don't get to come on Sunday night. Many, though, could come on Sunday night, though they can't come on Wednesday. Can I tell you that Sunday morning's not enough? It ain't enough. If it's enough for you, then you're a super Christian. Can I tell you, if Sunday morning is enough, not Sunday school, just Sunday morning. See, we got opportunities for Sunday school, for the Word of God. We got opportunities for Sunday morning, Sunday night. If we just use Sunday, that's three services that week. How much greater help that is than just Sunday morning and a Wednesday. Can I tell you, we need the Lord, and Christ is supposed to be our life. Now, there's many times that, like I say, that you can't get there through the midweek. We understand that. Can I tell you, the Lord even understands that, I believe, because He's let you have the job and doing that. But can I tell you, He's still got a day, and Sunday's still His day. It's still the Lord's day. And can I tell you, you'll grow more Sunday morning and Sunday night, other than just Sunday morning. It'll help you. I'm telling you, it'll help you. Galatians 2:20 says this: I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. This life is got to be a life of faith. Listen, we are going to fail. We are weak. We do make mistakes. We have been left in habit living, where it's not my habit to do this or that. Listen, we got to change. We got to be willing to change for Christ and let Him be my life. And this life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I can't do it without the Lord. You can't do none of the things I preached this morning or tonight without the Lord. You got to have the Lord. But can I tell you, you're not going to be fully alive in 2025 if Christ is not your life. He's got to be your life. All right? Colossians 3:4 again. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Coming fully alive in 2025. Think about it. We love you. You know that. And I'm sorry things worked out the way they did tonight, that you couldn't be here, but I thank God for the live stream. And thank God for these that had to come to town to come on the church anyway. Glad you're here. We love you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, You're so wonderful and great to us. You've allowed us another opportunity to come to Your house, to listen to Your songs of praise and spiritual songs. You've allowed us to open the Word of God again. You've allowed us to learn to listen. Oh God, may we become fully alive in 2025. And we're going to thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. And amen.